church. I never said a word about election, predestination. All I ask is, why do men use the last half of that verse? He knew all that the Father giveth me shall come to me meant that God chose the people in Christ before the world began, and there's not a primitive Baptist preacher, alive or dead, my friend, or yet to be born, could defend the doctrines of grace any better than Dr. Behan did. He laid it out from stem to stern. He put it to election, predestination, the effectual call, quoted all the favorite verses, and he ended up by saying, the only reason I use it that way, him that cometh to me, I don't know why I cast out, he says. I don't know who the elect are, so I preach as if everybody's elected, and the ones that come I know are the elect. Now that's a pretty good excuse to get around it, my friend. But that's the difference in a big congregation and a little congregation. But that's the difference in a big salary and a little salary, my friend, is when you preach the rest of it. When you just get up and plainly tell them and will not rob God of his, declared his glory and say to all men that my God has all power both in heaven and in earth. And when he gave a bride to his son, he would not lose the one that the Father gave him. He says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me. Of all which the Father's given me, I should lose nothing, but raise him up again at the last. Now that's not robbing God. Now that's giving him all the glory. Father, here am I and all the children which thou hast given me. He said, Paul writing to the Ephesians, letter in the 5th chapter, about husband, love your wives, and so forth. And he says in there, he shall present this church unto himself a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, nor blemish, or any such thing. And I thought about it. He's going to present unto himself a glorious church, not having spot. And what's a spot? The spot for your sin. He removed every sin. He took away every sin. Or what's a blemish? That's the scar from the sin. You know, one time a preacher, Dan was a young man before the Lord called him to preach, and his daddy was pretty strong about discipline. And so his daddy, he said, I'm going to pick some apples off from that tree, Dad. He said, no, you got to wait a while, son. I don't know if apples pick. Don't bother. So he snuck out behind the house and got three great old big spikes. He drove them in that apple tree. You know. And so after a while, a little bit later, his father discovered those spikes, those big nails in the tree. He said, boy, you go out and pull every one of those nails out. And gave him a whipping for it. But he said, after a while, that tree got on up bigger. He said, that bark rolled back. And said, as long as I live, I go by, I see them scars. I see that bark peel back. I knew what I had done. I had done this thing, and here was a scar from a transgression that I did back then. And you're going to reap what you sow. I'm going to tell you that. Now don't believe. That's God's law of restitution. You're going to reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But friend, heaven is not something you're going to reap for what you've done. If you reap what you've done, hell will be your doom, never one of them. You've never done enough good in this world or anything else to get you to heaven by your own work. You're saved by the grace of God. But anyway, it's not going to be a spot. There won't be a sin. Because behold, the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. Now, brother, he took it away. Somebody said, oh, but brother, God, how big John 3:16? God so loved the world. If you make John 3:16 be the entire human race, and behold, the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world, then you got the world with all the sin taken away. Then you've got everybody saved. That's what you've got. You've got a universal doctrine. Because he took it away. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But you also have the prayer of Jesus in that same book of John. That he said, I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me out of it. Bind the word thou that gave it to me. John also writes this, ye are not, he said, little children, ye are not the year of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So you got somebody of God over here, you got a whole world over here that lies in with you. A whole world lying with you. But not the children of God, see? Ye of God, little children, and the whole world. There's 12 distinctive uses of the term world in the Bible. So I'm telling you this, everyone that the Father gave to the Son, he put their sins away, world without end. Not a spot, not a blemish, a consequence of sin, no results of your sin are going to follow you in heaven. There won't be a blemish from your sin or a mind of your sin. The spot of sin is going to be removed, and all the blemishes and scars are going to be removed. Then he says, not a wrinkle. Now what's a wrinkle? Well, if I could lose some of this weight and not lose it gradually enough, so I can tone my skin to blend it, you know what I'll have? I'll have a bunch of wrinkles. Because I got more skin than I got flesh. That's exactly. When you have a quick falling away of flesh, immediately, and don't let the skin conform to the flesh, and tone it in by exercise and other means, rubbing, all this thing, you know. And you know, I've seen all this cosmetic treatment. But anyway, if you don't do all of this, and you just lose weight in a hurry, then you're going to have more skin than you got flesh, and you're going to have wrinkles. That's what you're going to have. You're going to have wrinkles. Well, his church won't have any wrinkles, because just as many as his covenant, the skin of his covenant, just as many as the blood of Christ covered, there'll be all the flesh there, every one of the redeemed of the Lord to fill it up. So his church is going to be without spot, without blemish, and without a wrinkle. And so, will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me by failing to declare my glory. So I tell those who believe in the truth and believe in the Lord and believe in his grace, you owe it to the Lord to come here and honor him. You say, well, you mean to say if I join the church, that's not going to take me to heaven? If I be baptized, that's not going to take me to heaven? If I don't take communion, I'm not going to stay out of heaven if I fail to do all these things? That's right. I tell you that truth. Joining the church won't get you to heaven. Being baptized won't get you to heaven. Taking the communion will not get you to heaven. Washing the saints' feet won't get you to heaven. None of these things will get you to heaven. If it so be it, your works will be getting you to heaven. You say, well, then, it's just all right for me then not to do anything. Well, I tell you this. You in the law of God? I'll ask you this. If you ever owed a debt, when I was real young, I built my first home. I didn't borrow $6,000. That's like borrowing $6 million. I tell you, I worried about that $6,000. I couldn't sleep at night. I tell you, I saw them notes coming due every month. And my neighbor even came over and said, well, what's wrong with you? I said, I can't sleep. He said, well, when I hang up my pants at night, I hang up my work. He said, I don't worry about anything like that. I said, well, I tell you, worse than sin to me to worry about is debt. I said, I'm worried about my death. He said, well, you make it. Well, I appreciate the encouragement. It was good encouragement. And I did make it. But you know, I was worried about it. I'll tell you that. If you owe a debt and you see you cannot pay it, you can't meet it, and you become bankrupt in your own finances, you're conscientious about paying the debt. Here you are bankrupt. You're fixing to lose everything you've got, your home, your car, everything you've ever had. Financially in the world, all of it is taken away. Like some of these farmers are in Georgia today. They're right on the brink, my friend, of losing everything. They've worked for all these years. Somebody comes along and knows what that person is. And has such a love for you personally. They go down to the bank without your knowledge. They go right down to the bank and how much for God are you over there? He said, look at the $1 million in debt here, plus the interest. And said, we're fixing to foreclose on everything you've got. Actually, he's bankrupt. Says, all right, give me his whole bill. I want the entire bill. All. And here's a cashier's check for it. I'm going to pay you in full. Okay? Somebody comes and tells me. I said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe a word. Somebody says, believe and get to the head. Let me tell you this. Whether you believe this or not, folks, you don't. Yes, sir. Whether you believe Jesus died for you or not, you still don't got the benefit of his death. I said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And somebody says, you better go check. So I go down to the bank, and there's a messenger that he knows that I hear him preach. He comes out and says, will you look on those records and see about my debt? He pulls it out. He says, sir, your debt paid in full. Oh, what a job! Your debt paid in full. You don't know a dime. You don't know one dime. I said, who paid it? Who paid it? Who paid it? Well, he's been anonymous, but he told me I could tell you if you ever asked about it. So he then says, it's the so-and-so. Oh, he said he don't want you to pay. I said, but I owe you something. He said, I believe you do. You owe him a debt of gratitude. A debt of gratitude. My friend, Jesus paid a debt you couldn't pay. But you owe him a debt, all right. Will a man rob God? I owe him a debt of gratitude. Where's the church? Where's the pool of baptism? Where's the Lord's Supper? Where can I go to honor him? Where can I go to please him that loves me and gives him up? If I saw that man coming down the street one day and I was over here, would I run in the alley and hide from him because I don't want to get close to him? No, my friend, I'd almost cross right through the danger spot. But oh, oh, my friend! Oh, my friend, you helped me. He said, I know I love you, my friend. I said, I didn't know you loved me. He said, yes, I knew that. But I'm telling you, I love you. I know you love me, man. I said, what can I do with you? You don't owe me a debt. That's all paid. It's all set. But if you want to do anything on your own to show me gratitude, the Lord tells us, I want you to go tell my friend how great things I've done to others appreciate, because I'm paying other people best off if I got paid for a man of God. Would we not pay him the homage and respect that he's done for us? Is that not reason enough to join the church and be baptized and communion and go to church and sing these songs? Not to get to heaven, because the debt's already paid and you're under it. God bless you. We didn't have a call there, but I had to leave. You the folks have a wrong God here tonight. It's a very good God that lives through the sacrifice. I hope you know there's no other God. You have to only think feelings are true. They are still God. Oh, it would be wonderful if you don't feel that way. We don't do this to try to encourage anyone to join the church. The Lord hasn't given them desires, but if they have a desire, they have to be obedient to the desire. We have a wonderful sermon here tonight. And it's just something you guys should take home with us and try to measure it on. Turn the scriptures, do these things by the word of God and the truth. So, first thing to know is, so bring that around and you're going to get here is this.
Oh, in the name of Christ. Amen.